The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to welcome everybody, officially welcome everybody here on Facebook Live. We want to welcome our podcasters. We want to welcome our YouTube audience. If this is your first time joining us, again, I'm Ricky Scaprell, the founder and the pastor of End Time Headlines and Remnant Revival Ministries, and we welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, please inform us and let us know there under the comment section there on Facebook Live by letting us know this is your first time. Where you're from, we enjoyed finding out where you guys are hopping on here and where you're joining us from. If you're on YouTube, let us know again on the comments below. If you're listening by podcast, we welcome you. Please, you can email us at endtimeheadlines.org. Go there and there's a place you can notify us or contact us and let us know if you enjoy these messages and in these podcasts. So let's get into this thing, guys. I want to talk about, is this one of the main reasons why the Lord has delayed his coming? Now, when I put this title up on Facebook today, we already had people that commented because they only read the title and they were quick to respond. It was a shotgun response and said, the Lord hasn't delayed his coming. His time, his coming is perfect. He's not caught off guard. He knows when it is. And listen, we know that. I know that. You know that. God is sovereign. Now, even the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour, not even Jesus, not even the angels in heaven, but only the Father which is in heaven. So this is not we're not going to try to date set here. We're not trying to pinpoint the timing of the Lord. We're not doing anything like that. I want to show you something practical, and something that is revealed to us in plain scripture. But I also want to show you that what I believe is an enigma or a mystery, or it's a clue of what one of the many reasons, and we're not going to know all of them, but we can find out one reason for sure, and I'm going to show you that today in Acts chapter 3. But I'm also going to show you, I believe, our clues that the Lord leaves us through the epistles in the New Testament of one of the reasons why the Lord has delayed his coming. Have you ever asked that? Why has the Lord not returned? Listen, don't lie. Every generation has asked this. Every generation has asked this question. Lord, when are you coming? Why have you delayed? How long is it going to be? Did you know that even the psalmist, even David said in the book of Psalms, oh Lord, how long? How long, oh Lord, shall the wicked triumph? So even David, in all of his understanding, his knowledge of the Lord, even David asked this per se. He even asked this out of the heat of his intercession. He said, how long, O God, shall the wicked triumph? Have you ever turned on the news and looked at the disasters? Look at the earthquakes. Look at the civil unrest. Look at the prejudices, the racism, the division, the strife, the discord, the disarray, the falling away, the apostasy of the church. Have you ever asked, how long, O God, shall you let this go on? When shall you return? Every generation has either A, asked, how long, O God, or B, they thought they surely was going to be the generation. So let's touch on this. I'm going to show you where we're going to be today so you can follow along with me. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you want to turn there. And then we're going to go over to James chapter 5. And then we're going to shoot over to Acts chapter 3. Now, and it may not be in that specific order, but those are the three passages of Scripture where we're going to be. Again, that's 2 Peter 3, James 5, and Acts 3. And we're going to develop this message from there. So let's go here. I'm going to read this. This is from the New King James. This is 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, this is Peter, the Apostle Peter wrote this. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. Now, it's important to note this. He stirs them up by his epistle. He stirs them up in the way of the words that has already been spoken in times past by who? The holy prophets. Remember that when we go to Acts chapter 3. And of the commandment of us. And now he's referring to the apostles, himself, and all the other apostles. And he even tells you this, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now listen to this, verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And they will be noted, or they will say, listen to this, where is the promise of his coming? Notice he tells you who's going to be going around saying, where's the promise of his coming? And this is not in a, this is not a genuine question. This is not a, they will not ask this in a legitimate question. This is not a rhetorical question. The mentality behind this, or the motive behind this, is condescending. It is a scoffing attitude. It's a scoffer, someone who comes up and challenges what you've been teaching and what you've been teaching. And they will say, listen to this, listen what Peter says, scoffers will come in the last days, and they will be walking according to their own lust. So they're going to be filled with unrighteousness. They're going to be filled with adultery. They're going to be filled with immorality. They're going to be filled with drunkenness. They're going to be walking according to their own lust. In other words, they're going to be walking according to their strongholds, in which they don't want to be delivered of. They don't want to be set free of. They have no they have no desire to be freed of. They will practice lawlessness, and they will challenge preachers and teachers and evangelists and apostles and pastors who are preaching and teaching the coming of the Lord. They will oppose them, and they will condescend them, say, where is the promise of his coming? Listen to this. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, come on, have you ever met these people? Have you ever encountered one of these scoffers? They get on social media, they get on YouTube, they get on Facebook, they get on Twitter, some of these are in your church, and they will come up to you, and if you preach or teach or advocate the coming of the Lord, they will come to you and they'll oppose you, and they will say things such as, oh, I've heard that my whole life. I've heard this message so much. I don't care. I don't want to hear about that. I've heard that since, 40 years, 50 years ago. My grandmother always taught me that. My grandpa always preached that, and they taught that for hundreds of years. They've been saying this for thousands of years. We've been in the last days for thousands of years, and I'm not interested in that. I don't want to hear anything about that message. And it's interesting, because most of the people that has that kind of attitude, when you get to know them personally, you will discover that many of them, and I would propose to you that most of them, are walking according to their own lust. They have strongholds in their life that they have no desire to be set free of. You could preach to them all day long about the importance of being delivered, why they need to be set free from this, why they need to walk away from that, why they need to abandon that, why they need to be set free from this. They don't want to hear that. They want to hold on to their pet sin. Because here's the bottom line, guys. They don't want the Lord to return, because they know if he returns, then guess what? He's going to flip the table on their lifestyle, and it's going to be lights out for them. I'm going to skip on down here. All right, verse 8, Peter, 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, now he's talking to us again. He's talking to the church. Peter is talking to us. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. In other words, now look, people has try to be real smart and take this passage here and try to make mathematical interpretations and equations and try to pinpoint or try to predict, if you would, the coming of the Lord based on 1,000 years as is one day. And they've done this all the way back. I mean, this has been done for hundreds of years. 88 reasons why Jesus is going to return in 1988. It was based on this system of a day isn't 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. And they were going to go 2,000 years and he's going to return. Or I'm sorry, he's 6,000 years going to return on the seventh. And then they broke it down while we are he's coming back in this millennial and this time frame and this and that. And they've missed it. Harold Camping came along, said it was 2011. It was going to be the end of the world. He missed it. And then we have the Mayan calendar, 2012. It was going to be the end of civilization and they missed it. Then 2000 was going to be it was going to be the Y2K disaster. And some people try to line it up with the word of God and say that this is what Peter was talking about when he said a day is unto the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is unto the day. But we know that that was 19 years ago and we're still here today. And all those predictions, all those calculations and all those interpretations have all had a 100% fail rate. Do you know what the bottom line is of this is, guys? What I get out of this is stop trying to calculate the day and the hour that Jesus is going to come back. Because again, I want to emphasize this because I know people's going to accuse me of doing this, but if they would have listened to the whole message instead of listening or reading the title and drawing a whole conclusion from the title, if they would listen to the whole message and hear Brother Ricky all the way out, they would hear me get to this point that I'm making right now. And that is if the Lord said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not Jesus, not the angels, but my Father only, no mortal man is going to be able to crack the code. I don't care who it is. I don't care how many books they've authored. I don't care how popular they are on Christian television or a Christian publication or how many conferences they preached at or their notoriety or how many people they can draw or how many crowds they can draw or how many enigmas they can solve. They will not crack the code, guys. Now, we are to know the seasons of his coming, but we will not know the pinpointed day nor the hour. Okay, so now having said that, we got to move on. Somebody say move on. Okay, well, let's move on to the point of this message. And that brings me to this. Notice he says, now let's recap real quick because this is important. We got to get this across. Notice he says, scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? And then Peter emphasizes, remember, don't forget this one thing I've told you, beloved. With the Lord, one day is 1,000 years or 1,000 years is his one day. Now listen to the next part, what he says in verse 9 of 2 Peter 3:9. Here's the clue of what I believe is a major clue of what one of the reasons why the Lord has delayed his coming. Here it is. Ready? Verse 9. The Lord is not slack. Somebody say slack. This word slack here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, he is not falling short. He doesn't forget. He hasn't failed. He's not a slacker. He's not a procrastinator. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And that his is in italics here. Do you know why that is? What is the promise? The promise of what? What are you talking about, Peter? Again, you've got to read scripture with scripture, line on line, precept on precept. You've got to keep it in context. The promise is what he told you that scoffers would be attacking in the last days. The promise of his coming. Remember, he said, where is the promise of his coming is what scoffers will ask with a condescending tone. But Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But listen to this. But he is long suffering. Somebody say he's long suffering. Somebody thank God for that. You better thank God he's long suffering. I thank God every day he's long suffering towards me. As many times as I failed him, as many times as I've fallen short, as many times as I didn't meet to the par. Oh, I know I may be preaching to myself tonight, but I know that my righteousness is as filthy rags. And I'll never meet up to par. And that's why I thank the Lord for, come on, the blood of Jesus and what he did for me at the cross. But I thank God that he's not slack concerning his promises. Some count slackness. But listen to this. But it's long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. Whew. There's the major clue, guys. I believe one of the main reasons why the Lord has delayed his coming is because he's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long suffering and wills that none perish and all come to repent. Listen, it's the same. Can I break this on a practical level? You want to know why your messed up uncle, come on, your dysfunctional father, your verbal and physical abusing stepfather or mother or that family member or that husband or that wife, you want to know why that individual is still living when they have done some of the things that they've done? Have you ever asked yourself that? Have you ever asked yourself, how are they living at 80 years old when they have molested kids, they've beaten people, they've lied on people, they've stealed on people, they've stolen from the church, they've cussed people out, they say the Lord's name in vain every single day, and they don't blink an eye, and yet, come on, good people are dying young, but these individuals are living a long, ripe age. Am I the only one who has asked that? Because I know David asked that. But you want to know the answer to that? Because God is long suffering towards them and he doesn't want them to die in their sins and go to hell. So he has purposely kept them alive so that they'd have a space to repent. You know, in the book of Revelation, one of the seven churches of Asia, the Lord warns one of the churches of Asia. He said, you've got that Jezebel in the midst of you, and she's committing fornication with the prophets there in the church. And the Lord says, I have given her a space to repent. He never said how long the space was. He didn't say it was 10 years. He didn't say, I've given her 4 years. I didn't give her 3 months or 6 months. He said, I've given her a space. A space is the sovereignty of God. Some might say it's a sovereignty of God, and meaning we don't know how long it is. It could be 10 months. It could be 10 weeks. It could be 10 years. We don't know. Come on, somebody. He's given her a space to repent. And then if she doesn't, there's consequences. So here we are. I believe one of the reasons why the Lord is purposely delaying his coming is because he wills that none perish. He is wanting as many as can be to come into the kingdom of God. I know some people can't wrap their minds around this because we got a lot of ornery, mean Christians. It's amazing how I see believers almost wish that some Christians didn't even make it into the kingdom, but they wish ill against them or harm against them. And some of them even say, I hope they burn in hell. I don't even understand how you can be born again and filled with the Spirit of God and wish something upon. Listen, I don't wish even my worst enemies to go to hell. None. If you truly had a revelation of the heart of the Father, you would never say such things. Now I want to show you something else. Let's go over here to James 5. James 5. Listen what James said by inspiration of the Holy Ghost in James 5, 7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, Let me break this down for you in case you not understand this. The farmer here is our Heavenly Father. The precious fruit of the earth is souls. And the farmer, the Heavenly Father, is waiting for the precious souls of the earth. He's waiting patiently. I love this. Until it receives the early and the latter rain. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to get real bad. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's going to get bad. Paul said perilous times will come. He told Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. They will be lovers of evil and not that which is good. They'll be boasters and they'll be prideful. They'll be haters of what is good. They'll be lovers of pleasure and not lovers of God. They'll be lovers of themselves. They will speak against their, they will hate their parents. They'll speak against this and that. He talks about these perilous days that will come. The Spirit expressly says in 1 Timothy 4, in the latter days, some will depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica and he says that in the last days, even the very elect will be deceived, that when the Antichrist appears with the false prophet, there'll be lying signs and wonders to deceive the very elect if it were possible. He said, man will betray, husband will betray wife, wife will betray husband, fathers against their children, children against their parents. He said it'll get so bad that men will kill you and say they're doing God's work. Somebody say it's going to get real bad. Somebody say it's going to get real dark. But listen, in the midst of it getting real bad and getting real dark, it's going to get real wet. What do I mean by that? I'm telling you, there is a former rain, Acts chapter 2, but we are living in the days of the latter rain. Come on, Joel chapter 2. The outpouring began on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. It began to pour out, but it's a continual outpouring. God is still, listen, I know we gauge what God's doing based on what he's doing in America. But I got news for you. Go look outside of America. Don't just stay in America. Go outside of it. God is still pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. It may not be a universal outpouring, but it's raining in pockets. Come on, it's raining over here in this geographical location. It's raining over here in this church in the United States. It's raining over here in this, come on, in this third world country where missionaries have just now got to. Or it's raining in the 1040 window in places where the most harsh persecution is. Listen, believe it or not, right in the midst of some of the worst persecution comes some of the greatest rainfalls, or what I mean is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One of the largest groups, one of the largest growing churches is in Iran and in China. They may not be gathering in buildings like we see here in America, like we're accustomed to, like we're used to, and like we see on Christian television, and like maybe you go to or I go to. No, they're gathering in their homes. They're gathering underground. They're gathering in secret, but they're growing. They're multiplying. They're enlarging. They're expanding. Why? Because it's a principle. You can go all the way back to the book of Exodus. Anytime the church, come on, the people of God are persecuted, it always promotes growth. When the children of Israel begun to be persecuted by Pharaoh, they began to grow and they got stronger. Come on. In the book of Acts, when the early church was birthed, when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, when persecution arose against the church grew in mighty signs and wonders because of persecution. Persecution always promotes growth. We don't want to hear that. But I'm going to tell you, persecution is some of the greatest blessing that many churches could ever receive, because it will push you right out of your comfort zone and you'll see explosive growth. All right? So don't miss it. He says, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Again, here is this connection with the coming of the Lord and souls. Let me say it again. There's this connection. There's this marriage between the coming of the Lord and souls. Come on, church. We got to get back to the principle of this thing. We got to get back to what is the main principle, and it is souls. It's not how big our church can get. It's not how prestigious we can be. It's not how much notoriety we can get. It's not how popular we can become. It's not how many Facebook followers we can get. It's not how big your Twitter account can get. It's not whether or not you get on Christian television. It's got to be about souls. It's got to be about filling the kingdom of heaven. And again, I believe one of the main delays of the coming of the Lord is because the Lord is patient, He's long-suffering, and He wills that none perish, but all come to repentance. And I thank God for it. You may not want to hear that, because there's a lot of people that's got a mentality, oh, Lord Jesus, come now. Come on, they want to go hide in a cave and pray for the rapture. And I'm not against the rapture. You guys know that. But friends, we got to occupy till He comes. We've got a mandate. We've got a kingdom mandate. Lift up your heads. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus said, look up and lift up your heads. For the harvest is ripe and it's plentiful. It's interesting. He says, look up and look at the fields, for they're white and they're ripe. Note, you ever looked around in society? Everybody's looking down. They're looking down at their phones. While they're looking down at their phones, they're not looking ahead and seeing the ripe harvest. And the Lord says, look up. Come on, get your head out of the phone. Get your head out of your phone. Get your head out of your tablet. Look around. People are lost and dying and going to hell. And the Lord, come on, is patient and He's long-suffering. Now I'm going to show you something else. Now I told you a while ago, I said that it seems like there is an enigma to this. There's a hidden clue, if you would, to one of the things that's delaying the coming of the Lord. I just showed you what that is. I believe what one of the things that's delaying the coming of the Lord, I believe that's a clue. Okay? Now, I want to show you something according to the revelation of Peter in Acts chapter 3 is another thing that's holding back the Lord Jesus from coming out of heaven. Some of y'all has heard this. Some of y'all is going to get blown away because you've never seen this before in Scripture, and I'm going to show it to you. Ready? Listen to this. Let me get a little backdrop on this. This is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, they're in the upper room. The Lord Jesus told them, go into the upper room and stay there until you receive the promise of my Father upon the promise of the Father, which will come down. And he talks about is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 2, there's 120. They receive the promise. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit falls. Acts chapter 2, they begin to speak in another tongue. They're all Jews there. There's no Gentiles. And some are bewildered. Some are perplexed. Some are blown away. There's just all these different emotions going on. And Peter stands up. Listen to this. Peter stands up. All right, and he says, I got to read this. Acts chapter 2, he says, my brother, I'm going to go over to Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to show you where I want to go in Acts chapter 3. So Peter stands up, raises his voice, and says, these men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and old men shall have dreams. And upon my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they, men and women, shall prophesy. And he talks about in the earth, there'll be wonders and signs in the earth beneath blood, fire, pillar, vapors of smoke, the moon turning to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord. Okay, so then you go over to, and then it talks about all these souls are one. The Bible says that these men were pricked to the heart. And they said, what must we do? And listen to what it says. So Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you'll receive that which you hear and see being poured out. And this gift is not for you only, but for your children and to all those that are far off. That word afar off in Greek means all the way to us. It's still going to perpetual generations. The Holy Spirit did not get stopped and it didn't cease in the fourth century, and he's still being poured out today. Okay? Now, and with many other words, he exhorted them to be saved from this perverse generation. And those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, 3,000 souls were saved. Now we go to Acts 3. Here's where I want to go. Watch this. Acts chapter 3. Listen to this. Yet now, brethren, verse 17. This is Peter still speaking. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance as did also. And he's talking about crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ as your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ would suffer, he has fulfilled. Now clean out your ears. I'm about ready to read something here that is going to blow you away if you've never heard this before. Listen to what he says. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Now listen to verse 20. And that he, who, the Lord, may send Jesus Christ. Where's Jesus at right now? He's seated at the right hand of who? The Father. Where? In heaven. Listen to what he says. And he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Now listen to verse 21. Whom heaven must receive. Somebody say receive. Now, your King James, I believe, says withholdeth. This is a Greek word. Withholdeth, receive. And you look at this word up in the Greek, it means to restrain or to hold back. So I'm going to give you the Greek understanding of this, and it does no harm to the scripture. Okay? That the Father may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must hold back or restrain until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Did you hear that? Did you know that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach, come on, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who's coming back on the white horse, according to what Peter said here, right here in Scripture. Now, if you argue with this against me, you're arguing against Scripture because I just showed it to you. The by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter tells us that heaven is restraining or holding back the Lord Jesus from returning until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. Can I tell you what is one of the main indicators of Bible prophecy and restoration of all things is? Are you ready for this? It's the nation of Israel. That is the fig tree. That is the fig tree that the gospel writer said, watch its leaves. When its leaves become tender, you'll know that summer is near. Even so, it's even at the door. So what about Israel? Israel, God says, they are the apple of my eye. I will bless those who bless thee, and I will curse those who curse thee. He tells Zechariah, come on, God holds such a covenant with the nation of Israel that he warned through the prophet Zechariah in chapter 12. He says in the last days, Jerusalem would become a cup of trembling, and all those who would try to heave it away, that try to take it away, they would be broken in pieces. He warns through the prophet Joel that in the last days, that nations will gather together to try to divide the nation of Israel. And in doing so, they will bring upon judgment upon themselves because they try to divide my land. This Israel, Israel that was restored in 1948. Jerusalem was restored as the capital in 1967. By inspiration of the prophet, said that a wasteland, a barren land, would blossom again. It would ripe again. It would irrigate the whole world again. It would be a land filled with vegetation and life again. Guess what? It's happening. It's being fulfilled. Israel was reborn. Can a nation be born in one day? The answer is yes, and it happened in 1948. How in the world did a small nation was able to overcome other Islamic nations that try to destroy them in a 6-day impossible war, but they did overcome them and they did regain Jerusalem as the capital? How was they able to fulfill these things? Thus, it fulfilled what the prophet Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel 37 when he said, "Can these bones live?" And they did. The flesh came back. The bones stood up. Come on. That which was dead is alive again. My friends, what the prophets foretold about the nation of Israel is all happening before our lives. But guess what? Everything is not yet fulfilled. But we are accelerating in this thing. I'm trying to tell you guys something real quick. I believe one of the clues I showed you tonight that is a prophetic clue is souls. That one of the main reasons the Lord is not returned is because it's all about souls. The Lord wills that none perish. My goodness, guys, Matthew 24, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the" what? "The whole world as a witness." Woo, listen to this. "And then the end shall come." My God, I didn't even have that in my notes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to say it again because I'm preaching myself happy tonight. "And this gospel, the kingdom," Matthew 24, "this gospel, the kingdom, shall be preached unto the whole world as a witness." Why? Why does it have to be preached to the whole world as a witness? Because God is long-suffering and He doesn't want any to perish. So the world has to have a witness to the gospel. "And then the end shall come." Somebody say it with me. Say, "And then the end shall come." Okay? So that is a major clue. But then we, over here, we have what Peter is saying in Acts chapter 3, that heaven itself is restraining the Lord Jesus Christ until the fulfillment of all things that was spoken of by the prophets are fulfilled. Now, why would the Lord do that? I'm going to tell you why. Jesus said, do you remember Jesus saying this? He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of my word shall pass away." Ready for this? "Until all things be fulfilled." Come on, if you got anything out of this tonight, why don't you give the Lord a hand clap or praise Him or just say thank you, Jesus, or give Him an amen here on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, or this podcast or however you're watching this tonight. I believe, guys, tag somebody in this. Share this with somebody. You want an encouraging word, my friends. This is an encouragement. You know what this is? This should encourage you to. Now listen, share this with all the anti-rapture people, all the people that preach against the rapture, and they always say things about, you know, they always come against the rapture guys like me, and they say, "All you rapture guys are the same. You always want to keep your head in the clouds, and you're not about soul winning, and you don't want to reach the masses, and you don't want to preach the gospel. You just want to go hide somewhere until the Lord comes back and splits the sky." Well, not this guy. Come on. You may be talking about them, and he might be talking about some of you, but he ain't talking about me. I'm not trying to hide in a cave. I'm not trying to bury my sin. Come on, a word like this, if anything, a word like this should provoke you, come on, to go out into the harvest. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Come on, if there's ever a word that's going to entice you to get out there and win souls and swing that sickle and bring in, come on, the harvest, it's a word like this. Why? Because the coming of the Lord is at hand. And it's all about souls. We don't want a single one being left behind in Jesus' name. So again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, that's where you're going to find us. That's going to be our main website. That's where you can go to subscribe to our daily digest. Right there on the Facebook Live, you're going to see a link. You can click on that. You guys watching by YouTube, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. It's going to be all your information. You click on that web link, it's going to take you to there. Listen, I got some announcements. Please don't go yet. I know everybody wants to get off Facebook. I got a few announcements I want to make here real quick. Number one is this Wednesday. You don't want to miss this. I got a message I'm going to minister on this Wednesday. Are you ready for this? It's called Unmasking Ghost and the Paranormal. Man, what a timing for that message. Again, this coming Wednesday, 2 days from now, I'm going to do a message on unmasking ghost and the paranormal. We're going to bring the truth from what the world calls one thing, and we're going to bring it out and show you what God identifies that as. So you don't want to miss that. That's going to be this Wednesday night, or this Wednesday. I don't know the time frame, but we'll announce a little bit more of that when that time comes. That's why I tell everybody to sign up for push notifications on Facebook Live. That brings me to my second announcement. Speaking of push notifications, we are in the process. Somebody say in the process. We're right now, when I say we, our ministry team, my tech guys working behind the scenes, we are creating our app, our official End Time Headlines app. And it's going to be for Android users and it's going to be for Apple users. I'm so excited about this, guys, because this is going to be, let me just talk to you about this for a second. This app is going to, when you have this app, you'll be able to put it on your phone. And it's going to have push notifications on it. So first of all, you sign up and it says, would you like to enable push notifications? You hit yes. Every time there's a breaking news alert that we post on our main website, you're going to get that push notification right to your phone. So you don't, if you're listening to this by YouTube and you say, well, I don't follow you on Facebook, so I don't get these notifications. Well, guess what? That's why you're going to love the app. You on podcast, you're going to love the app. You guys on Facebook, doesn't mean we're going to leave Facebook. It means we're going to have Facebook. We're going to have the app. We're going to have our main website. We're going to have all these different avenues and resources to our advantage. Okay. The second thing is, so when you get on this app, it's going to have all of our, it's going to have our news feed. It's going to have our podcast on it. It's going to have our YouTube videos and our YouTube channel on it. It's going to have all that information on there. So when you click on the links and the stories, it's going to take you right to our main website. Now, you know why I'm excited about this? Number one is because it's going to reach a whole group of people out there that's never been reached. Never been reached. Think about this, guys. Apple and Android users reach the whole world. So when they get on there, and anybody that's interested in eschatology or the end times or the apocalypse or Revelation or anything like that, when they type in end time, it's going to pop up and they're going to see the ETH official logo. And you're going to see it. And when they click on that and download that, guys, I'm excited. This is going to reach a whole lot of people. Talking about reaching souls, that's what we're doing. We're expanding and enlarging our territory. This was a costly project, but supporters like you and partners like you of this ministry, this is what you're helping when you sow into this ministry. That is going towards that and helping to pay for this. The app is going to be free. You're not, a lot of these apps, you have to pay $5 or $2 or $1. It's going to be absolutely free. You don't have to pay a dime for it. All of our messages are free. Our YouTube channel is free. Our podcast is free. And our subscriptions are free. They're not paid subscriptions. Our digest and the app is going to be no different. It's free. All of it's free for you guys. Why? Because we're feeding the sheep. And I believe that God is going to speak to some people and many people. And maybe you're one of them that he's going to speak to partner with us and help us continue to enlarge our territory. So if you're one of those individuals and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you say, you know what? I want to sow a seed into that. I want to help reach people around the world. I want to help share the gospel. They'll hear messages like you just heard tonight. Reach some people around the world, in China and Afghanistan and Egypt and Libya and the Philippines and Argentina. It'll reach people all around the world. So we want to encourage you to either, you can pray about becoming a monthly partner, or if this is your home church, we always want to welcome you to that ETH Community Church. They're on Facebook Live. You can click on that link. I believe Jessica's put that up there. You can click on that link. And we want you to be a part of our ETH online community church. And now this, listen, you say, well, I've got a church, Brother Ricky. That's fine. We're not pulling people out of church. If you've got a church and you still want to be a part of the group, we welcome you. We're going to still pray for you. We're still going to love on you. We're still going to encourage you. We're still going to share scripture with you. This is a place, it's just a community of believers. We don't put up with nonsense and fighting and quarreling and striving. Listen, you guys on ETH, you read the comments under a lot of the posts and stuff, and you see a lot of the language, and you see the contention and strife. That is the outer court. You know, the other day the Lord kind of showed me this. Of our ministry, we have what's in the temple. You had the Holy of Holies, the outer court, and the inner court. You had three different levels. Okay, I believe End Time Headlines is the outer court. We allow everybody to come in, and as long as they're civil and diplomatic, we let them come in, and we let them share their opinions. Now, we draw the line on some things when they start attacking people or the language, it gets out of hand, then we have to let them go. But for the most part, we let people just get on there and voice their opinions. Okay, that's the outer court. But then you move into the inner court, and that's the Remnant Revival Ministries. That's our other arm of our ministries. On there, you're not going to see all that stuff you see on ETH on Remnant Revival's Facebook page. You're going to get encouraged. You're going to get edified. You're going to get built up. You're going to get, you know, you're going to get all these blessings, these messages. But then you move over to the purest form of our ministry, which is our ETH community group. And that's where there's a bunch of people that are like-minded, like you and I, that love Jesus. We may not agree on everything, okay? But we don't put up with strife, division, discord, defamation, slander. We don't put up with that. Paul didn't put up with it in the New Testament church. We don't put up with it on there. Okay? All right, so if you don't have a home church for whatever reason, maybe you live in a location where there's not a Spirit-filled church, or that there's not a good Bible-believing church, or maybe you have a physical ailment where you can't attend that church. If that's the case, then we want to welcome you. We want you to be a part of this group, okay? So again, we thank you guys for jumping on here to the broadcast and being part of, again, these messages and these broadcasts that we do. Again, this Wednesday, we're going to do our message on unmasking ghosts and the paranormal. You don't want to miss that message. That's going to be this Wednesday night. Don't forget, we do have an app coming up. Pray for that. Everything goes smooth. And it's going to be, I cannot wait for that to be launched. It's going to be a few more weeks, guys, because we have to go through a whole process to get that out. It's got to be approved by Apple and approved by Android. So it's a process. We're not talking about next week. It's going to be a few more weeks. And if you would, Jessica didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I want you to pray for her. She's on here. She's our admin. She needs your prayers. Okay, I want you to pray. I want you to really intercede. I want you to pray and ask the Lord for a miracle in Jesus' name. Come on. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want you to intercede. If you guys are watching this and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to pray for her. God will show you how to pray. The Holy Spirit will show you how to pray and intercede. And I want you to begin to lift her up and pray for her, because she's a part of this ministry. And I want you to cover her with your prayers. Ask the Lord to release angels on her behalf and do warfare for her in Jesus' name. Because listen, guys, this ministry gets attacked on different levels and different angles. Okay. So we appreciate your prayers and your intercession for this ministry. So God bless you guys. We love you, and we'll see you Wednesday.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.